Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But the men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." May God bless to us His Word. Amen. I've already spoken or mentioned the couple of news events that I wanted to mention again, and I'll go ahead and do that. This whole matter of rendezvousing with a UFO in a comet Hale-Bopp. If you haven't seen the comet, it's a great spectacle. It really is. It's a beautiful thing. And thanks be unto God that He brings into the heavens such beauty and such a spectacular sight. The Hutchinson News this morning spoke of Christianity and a comet on a collision course. What a terrible thing to say. As though the words of the Bible and this wonder of the heaven were sometime or in some way contradictory to each other. But of course, those individuals who took their own lives as members of this cult, thinking wrongly that they were going to rendezvous with a UFO somehow in or behind this comet and left their bodies behind, they were looking, were they not, for some sort of peace and contentment and life beyond the grave. Of course, that's what Christianity speaks about. And the great St. Augustine says at the beginning of his Confessions that our hearts are restless until they find rest in You, O God. And that is the truth. It certainly is the truth. And so I'm afraid that these individuals who took their lives had a rendezvous all right, but one that they're sorry about at this point, and there's no turning back. And then, of course, there was this tragic accident of a car rolling several times and a young lady losing her life this week in our community, and another young lady in the hospital, paralyzed from the waist down, at least at last report. That's the last report I had. No thought of eternity in these matters. And what is the rendezvous that this young lady has kept? That question I don't have the answer for. Our text speaks about these things. And I'm interested in getting down to verse 41. "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." And the context of this particular text is the story of Jonah, to which Jesus has already alluded. And in this context, our Lord Jesus Christ predicts His death and resurrection. And so I say to you this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares Christ to be the Son of God, and we ought to hear Him like Nineveh of old, and we ought to follow His word, which is given to us in Scripture. Remember the sign of Jonah. points to the death and resurrection of Christ the Lord. This is what we spoke of last week. Look at verses 38, 39, and 40 once again. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And you recall last week we spoke about the fact that Jesus pointed to this story and he said to the Pharisees, you remember this story, do you not? How Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster 3 days and three nights, and he came back and he preached in that great city of Nineveh. You remember that story? Of course you do. And the children, most of them, know that story quite well. Jesus, in taking that story, predicted his death and resurrection. And he said, "I will rise again and preach the truth of God in this perverse and adulterous generation." And so Jesus, as I say in the first point of the outline, predicted his death and resurrection, points to his death and resurrection. Jonah, you see, vigorously proclaimed the word of God in the city of Nineveh after his resurrection. This is how Jesus views it. Look at verse 41 again. "The men of Nineveh shall stand up in this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." Jonah went back into that city of Nineveh and proclaimed the truth of God. Let's go back to Jonah again. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you.' So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk and cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" Jonah went into that city and proclaimed the word of God. Now as I worked this text over a little bit, it dawned on me once again that what Jonah was doing and what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41 when Jonah was preaching, and the word there is proclamation. He was engaged in proclamation. He went out to preach. Was that he went out to set forth the news concerning what would happen in Nineveh, and the gospel is news concerning what will happen to each one of us if we do not trust Jesus Christ, and what will transpire in our lives when we do trust Jesus Christ. It is the news concerning the coming of Jesus Christ and what he has done. It is news. That's the very essence of the word, gospel, and that means news. And the prefix on the Greek word is good, the good news. I can't help but say once again that the work of the church in this regard is not salesmanship. It's not selling something. The metaphor which is used in the New Testament concerning the proclamation of the gospel does not have to do with selling something. You don't find that metaphor used in the New Testament, except in a pejorative sense, except in a negative sense. Very interesting, is it not? The apostles were not salesmen. Now, some people in our church today do not like that, but that's the truth. Neither were the apostles entertainers There's an entertainment syndrome in the church today. Is this not the case? I think we ought to say of our church, no fluff. That's right, isn't it? No fluff. Just meat and potatoes and milk. And I think that's where we are. That's what we ought to have. I defy you to find in the New Testament the preachers of the New Testament being characterized as entertainers. They were not. That metaphor is not used. The metaphors that are used are these. They are witnesses, like witnesses in a courtroom. They testify concerning the truth of God. They are ambassadors. Ambassadors which come from a foreign land to give the message of the King from a foreign land. The foreign land happens to be heaven, and we are the recipients of the message from heaven. Thank God that that's the case. The metaphor is that of a messenger. How beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring glad tidings of good news, you see. The messenger was the one who could be seen afar off, and he could be the message, the content of the message could be understood somewhat by how the messenger was running. If it was good news, he was stepping high and running vigorously. And if it was bad news, he was hanging his head as he ran. You see, it's a message which is to be proclaimed. And the message was proclaimed in Nineveh. And what happened in Nineveh? Jonah, chapter 3. Verse 5, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Yes, they believed in the Lord God Almighty, and they heard the word of God, and they took heed to the word of God. How good that is, and how simple it is. Is that not the case? Turn back, if you would, please, now to Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 41 again. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Do you realize what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the people of Nineveh will participate in the resurrection of the righteous at the last day. That's what Jesus is saying. The people of Nineveh will participate in the resurrection of the righteous at the last day. You can keep your finger there in Matthew 12 and turn back in your Bibles to Acts 24, to a text that speaks of the resurrection, another text which speaks of the resurrection. Acts chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. There shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory, not for salvation. He came the first time to work out salvation. He will come a second time in glory to judge the earth. The dead will be raised. That's what the Bible tells us. And there will be a resurrection in which the righteous and the wicked will stand together. And I think they will see one another. That's what Paul tells us in Acts 24. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 12, that's what Jesus tells us too. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment. They will be there together. They will be resurrected That's what the word stand up means in the original language. They will be resurrected. They will stand up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. So the people of Nineveh, you see, we have to get this. The people of Nineveh, Jonah was very upset at the prospect of this. The fourth chapter of Jonah displays the grief of Jonah over the repentance of the Ninevites. Imagine that. That individual should be sorry that people are converted. Jonah was sorrowful over the conversion of the Ninevites. They will stand in the day of judgment and will participate in the resurrection of the righteous. Christ says also in verse 41 that the Pharisees will participate in the resurrection of the wicked. Look at verse 41 again. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. You see, there they will be. The Ninevites here and the Pharisees here. And what will be the words which will be spoken to the Ninevites by the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ? To the Ninevites will be spoken wonderful words. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to the Pharisees, what will be the words spoken to them? Depart from me, you wicked, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Think about this now, folks. These are men who grew up in the visible church. These are men who grew up hearing the Word of God. These are people who made a profession of faith in the living God. These are people who understood the prophecies of old. These are people who were looking for the Messiah. These are people who ruled in the religious circles of Israel. And they will arise at the judgment and will be condemned. You see, growing up in the church doesn't mean that you're saved. Hearing the Word of God all your life doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved. I can say that about the Reformed Presbyterian Church, can I not? Just because someone grows up in the Reformed Presbyterian Church doesn't necessarily mean that they're a Christian. Is that you? Have you grown up in the Reformed Presbyterian Church? Do you know Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord of glory, as the one who died in payment for your sins and rose again? Do you trust Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins? Are you a believer? Will you be here with the Pharisees, or will you be here with the Ninevites? You know, most of us would shrink from the thought of being in the judgment with the Ninevites, that pagan nation. But what does Jesus say? The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. My, oh my. Those words come home. And they ought to come home, dear friends, to our hearts. I pray that God would bring them home to our hearts by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so I say in this fifth point, in answer to the question, why do the Ninevites have this privilege? The people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of the resurrected Jonah. That's why they have this privilege. Go back, if you would, please, to Jonah chapter 3. Let's read these words again. I'll begin with verse 10 in chapter 2. Then the Lord commanded the fish and vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a city a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk and cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. They heard the word of God, and they repented, the Bible says. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. You realize that mostly in the New Testament, conversion is understood in terms of this word, which is translated repentance. And that word has to do with a change of mind, that we have an utter change of mind concerning who God is and our responsibilities toward Him. That we have an utter change of mind concerning how God views us in our sinfulness. And we turn around because of that change of mind. And it's not just a mental thing. It has to be a heartfelt thing. That's what real repentance is. Not just a mental change of mind. You know, when I was a math major in college, I had a change of mind about several different things in the math classroom. And I learned some math as a result of that kind of alteration in my thinking. Now, Christianity is a little deeper than that. I mean, it really is a little deeper than that. It's a change of mind that affects how we live, our view of God. You see, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in our world today, a dead body coming back from the tomb is thought of as something which is absolutely impossible and ridiculous, is it not? You don't expect dead bodies to come up from the grave. You don't expect that. The difference here is that this person who came back from the grave happened to be the very Son of God. And when He came back from the grave, there were many who saw Him and testified concerning this resurrection. And as a result, their lives were changed, and they became different people, and they went out and proclaimed the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, even though they were liable to lose their lives as a result of making that proclamation, of telling that story, you see. So dramatic was the change in their lives. And so we say, as a result of the eyewitness accounts and the change in the lives of these eyewitnesses, that this resurrection did indeed take place. Now you can imagine the people in Nineveh when they saw this prophet Jonah, who was belched up by the whale, coming back to preach to them, that they thought that this was an amazing circumstance. That it must have been to them like someone being raised from the dead. And so did they pay attention? You better believe it. They paid attention to the preaching of Jonah, and they believed the message because it was attested by this phenomenal appearance of the prophet coming back from the watery grave. And so the people believed in God. And so I ask finally, how many will repent at the preaching of the greater resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 12 again. Verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here, folks. That greater is Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ was a prophet. Yes, Jesus Christ was a teacher. But Jesus Christ was not just a prophet and not just a teacher. Jesus Christ was the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, come into this world by miraculous birth, lived a perfect life, attested to His own sonship by many miracles, went to the grave, and was raised again in a miraculous way from that grave, proving that He is indeed the Son of God and worthy of our worship and adoration. And we ought to follow Him in every respect. And so the question then comes, how many will repent at the preaching of the greater resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Will you and you and will I? Will we turn and serve this greater one who has come? Will we do that? Verse 41 again. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Dear friends, we think of those 39 people who took their lives because they wrongly thought that they would have peace and contentment after they took their lives. The men of Nineveh will stand up in the day of judgment to condemn them. We think of this young lady who lost her life in a reckless accident. Was she repentant? Did she know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I do not know. I hope it was the case. If not, the men of Nineveh will stand up and bring condemnation against her. May we be people who hear the word of God concerning Jesus Christ and embrace Him.